Welcome to Friends in Faith. My name is Michael Grace. Today we're going to be talking about the principle of worship. Worship in the dictionary is defined as the expression of reverence and adoration. It's a personal response to God, but it's also a response that we can have as a group, a small group as we're experiencing now, but also our entire church, and in fact the universal church, the Catholic Church. Where does it come from? Well, if you look in the Ten Commandments, you'll see that the first commandment, and this is not a request, but a command from God, is that I am the Lord your God, you shall not have other gods before me. And that's the beginning of our whole understanding of what worship is. It comes from God himself as a command. The second commandment is very similar to that, which is you'll have no idols, because we worship the one and only true God. The third commandment is we don't take the name of the Lord in vain. That's part of our expression of worship by things that we don't do. And finally, and especially for Catholics, we keep the Sabbath holy by attending Mass. All of these things that we do through our faith can be tall orders, but there are some ways that we can work together to succeed in worshiping as God has commanded us to do and as our nature desires that we do. First of all, it's really important to understand that worship is not something that's artificial. It's natural. It's something that exists in all cultures, and it's a natural response to a created being responding to the Creator who made us, who put us into being in the first place. Now, that's a heavy theological concept, but just think about it for a second. We honor our parents because they had a role in our creation, but they did not create us. God created us. They just were a part of it, and yet we still honor them a lot in our lives. So much more so we should be honoring God, who's the creator of all that exists, including us. Now, our church offers many options for worship. Worship either alone or with others. I've broken them down in a few different ways to think about it. The first one that is very natural are prayers of gratitude. That's our way of saying thanks to God for all of the good things that God does for us, up to and including the fact that we exist at all. Second, we have what we call prayers of supplication. Those are prayers for help. We have problems in our lives. We need God to intervene, to help us, to guide us, to solve these problems so that we can move on with our lives and be the flourishing human being that God naturally intends us to be. And secondly, and most profoundly, are prayers of friendship. Those are the prayers of accompaniment when we can share our life with Jesus as Jesus asks us to, which is, I call you friends. That's not something that comes automatically. Just like in human friendships, our friendship with God does require time. It requires patience. It requires conversation. We call that conversation prayer. One of the favorite expressions that I have when I think about these prayers of friendship come from St. John Vianney, who was one of the great 19th century priests and great confessor. People would line up for days to go to confession with Father Vianney. And he was asked sometimes, what did he do when he was in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament? Because he would spend hours there, and that was where the source of his energy to be able to be a confessor for so many hundreds of people over just a whole weekend. Almost without sleep, he would be hearing confessions. And he would say, when I'm there before the Blessed Sacrament, I look at Jesus and Jesus looks at me. No words needed to be exchanged. It was that full, deep friendship that comes from years of prayer. I hope that we will be able to develop that in the course of our small groups program so that we will be able to express, of course, prayers of gratitude, prayers of supplication, but then also to experience that profound prayer of friendship in Christ that St. John Vianney experienced and shared with us. In addition to the prayers that I've been mentioning, which are by oneself and with a group, we also have things that we can do on our own. One is to read the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It's a source of great, great richness. But it's important because of the size of the Bible to have a plan. So if that is the way you really like to develop your time coming to know Christ better, talk with your small group leader about resources to help you develop a plan to read the Bible. You might want to focus first on the New Testament, because those you have the words of Jesus right there, and then the Acts of the Apostles, the early church. The Acts of the Apostles are really rich and profound. But the entire Bible is a source of wisdom and inspiration and strength. There's another thing that's a uniquely Catholic experience. We call it Lectio Divina, where we can read the Bible or other holy books, where we take the time to read them, to chew on them a little bit, to chew on the words, to pause, and then reflect on that meaning for your heart. And that's typically done alone, but you can also do it in a small group and share the experience, what you are drawing from those sacred words, whatever they might be. Again, you can work with your small group leader to check on what book within the Bible or what other book you might want to read as a group. Another great way, a very Catholic way of worshiping, is by praying the rosary. The rosary just has so much depth to it. The mysteries take us through the life of Jesus. They bring us closer to his mother. And we always have the Our Father, which has the great prayer that Christ gave us and led with that great word, Our Father. Not my Father, not your Father, not Jesus's Father alone, but Our Father. What a great gift we have with that prayer. And the final and greatest prayer of all for us to worship is at the Mass itself. Now, the Mass has a lot of different parts, and this is not the time to talk about that. But the important part of the Mass is that we have two ways of encountering Christ. One is in the liturgy of the Word itself, where on Sundays we have the Old Testament, we have a psalm, we have the New Testament, and then we have a gospel message that comes out. And what you'll see and what the priest does in his homilies is he integrates those readings so that you can understand that all of them are the Word of God and they all have a relationship to each other. Another way, and the most profound way, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, is the liturgy of the Eucharist, where the meal is prepared on the altar, the sacrifice of Christ, which was prepared for us and for our salvation. There is no higher way of prayer and of communion with Christ than in celebrating the Mass and receiving communion. These are just a few things that you can think about and discuss in your small group. The one question that I'd like you to think about as you discuss now among each other what worship means to you is, what gesture or action helps you to place yourself in God's presence for worship? Thank you for listening.